Chapter 12, Special Conditioning. Programs for soldiers who are having difficulty meeting Army standards are part of special conditioning. These programs are not punitive. They are restorative. Their purpose is to build readiness so that soldiers return to full duty and deploy in support of any mission. They include training and testing improvement, ABCP, reconditioning after completing rehabilitation for an injury or illness, and pregnancy and postpartum physical training, P3T. Rehabilitation and Reconditioning Program. Army leaders prioritize the health and well-being of soldiers. The focus of H2F system is the physical, psychological, and social well-being of the soldier. This integrated approach includes those who are rallying back to optimal readiness after a period of illness, injury, or deconditioning. Operational unit leaders and sustaining phase leaders have a responsibility to communicate clearly with their medical counterparts in the military healthcare system when helping soldiers through these conditions. The H2F personnel in the unit can perform this function as well and will be the primary leaders of the unit's special programs. Illness occurs when soldiers deviate from a healthy state and feel helpless, dependent, and continuous discomfort. It leads to a narrowing of focus and goals and an increase in concern about pain. Illness differs from disease. A soldier can feel ill but not have a disease. An illness is a state where a soldier has feeling of pain or discomfort that may or may not have an identified cause. A disease might not have symptoms of pain or discomfort, but it will have an identified cause, a pathology or diagnosis, that causes the body or parts of the body to not work properly. Whether real or perceived, the physical and psychological responses of the body to illness or disease is stress. When this type of stress is overlaid on daily hassles, major life events, or high operational tempo, Army leaders use the H2F system to mitigate the impact on the soldier and the unit's readiness. Rehabilitation and reconditioning both depend on the unit's conditioning program. If leaders do not synchronize the rehabilitation and reconditioning program with the conditioning program, the soldier is at increased risk for chronic injury or re-injury. Exercises and drills for rehabilitation and reconditioning are based upon the conditioning program. Profiles describe which exercises, drills, and activities can be done to standard, must be modified, or cannot be performed, are restricted. If the conditioning program changes or other physical activity is included in the H2F program, then leaders need to consider the impact on the rehabilitation and reconditioning programs and the profile system. Rehabilitation. Rehabilitation is a program developed and overseen by medical providers that soldiers begin soon after becoming ill or injured. Rehabilitation aims to return the soldier to a baseline of physical function in daily activities, such as personal hygiene and mobility at home and work. Once soldiers reach this goal, they may progress to higher levels of function under the direct supervision of a medical provider. When soldiers reach rehabilitation goals, the provider can discharge them to full duty or change their profiles so they can start reconditioning. Soldiers may continue rehabilitation, reconditioning, or both until returned to readiness for return to full duty. Healthcare providers should communicate with H2F personnel to allow the soldier to safely train in the reconditioning program. They may remain on profile during this period. Reconditioning. Reconditioning is unit-owned. Reconditioning is a unit-driven and unit-run physical readiness training program for soldiers who are deconditioned due to illness or injury, are new to the unit, or deconditioned due to deployment or other circumstances. Soldiers who have completed rehabilitation and been given permanent profile restrictions may be appropriate for certain reconditioning program elements. All soldiers will have progressed in their recovery to the point where they can safely train without the direct supervision of a healthcare provider, or communication between the medical provider and H2F personnel will allow the soldier to safely train in the reconditioning program. Reconditioning returns soldiers safely and as soon as possible to full duty. In the H2F system, reconditioning drills and exercises provide a standard for soldiers and units to follow, no matter their circumstances. With the H2F system, units can individualize the reconditioning program. H2F trainers and healthcare providers in the unit aim to provide early identification and treatment of injuries and to prevent injuries from happening in the first place, so-called primary injury. When units receive H2F personnel, soldiers will manage fewer injuries themselves. That means primary injury control approaches initially increase in rate and number of injuries, since these personnel now identify, diagnose, record, and treat the injuries. While this increased injury rate surprises some leaders, it is a typical occurrence. As leaders implement the H2F system, with proper conditioning program and earlier access to treatment, the unit controls the number of injuries at lower rates or less severe conditions. The expert advice stops chronic or more serious injuries from developing. Those units that continue with non-standardized, random, non-periodized training often continue to have a greater need for reconditioning programs. Training and testing improvement. When soldiers fail to meet unit goals, leaders consider many factors that may contribute to these failures, including physical, psychological, and social areas. These factors may include transitioning from deployed status, time available to train, participation in H2F programming, family issues, increased stress from external factors, and recovery from illness or injury. Time in training. Soldiers who just arrived from IMT or just completed professional military education, prolonged deployment, or remote assignment may perform at or below the minimum unit standard or the baseline for the ACFT. They may be deconditioned or overweight. They may fail to keep up with the pace of other soldiers in the gaining unit. In the face of new physical and psychological stress, they may require several months to acclimate to the unit's culture and to acclimatize to the altitude or weather at the new location. An effective leader provides soldiers training programs specific to their needs to transition them to optimal readiness. Regular participation. Many factors influence regular participation in H2F sessions. The most common factor is operational tempo and related mission requirements. Leaders must anticipate and plan for these and must make H2F readiness training as important as any other programmed training, even if that means inserting it later in the morning or afternoon. In accordance with AR-350-1, soldiers must participate in collective or individual physical readiness training at least 3 times per week. In the H2F system, optimal participation increases to 5 to 7 hours per soldier per week and includes both physical and non-physical training. Leaders must understand this and make it known. A leader excuses soldiers from H2F programming only when they have completed exhaustive duties with little or no rest or have temporary or permanent profiles in accordance with AR-40-501. All soldiers must understand that it is their personal responsibility to achieve and sustain a high level of readiness. Many soldiers are assigned to duty positions that restrict participation in collective unit programs. Commanders must therefore develop leadership environments that encourage and motivate soldiers to accept individual responsibility for their own readiness. Prolonged deployment. While deployed, leaders must make every effort to equip, program, permit, and lead physical readiness training. Detraining begins in as few as 14 days when soldiers do not physically train. During post-deployment, when fitness levels may have declined, leaders must give special consideration to ensure soldiers return to or exceed their pre-deployment readiness levels. Soldiers are almost always capable of rallying back to this level without needing special programming. With adequate recovery, soldiers should prepare for the ACFT within 90 days of redeployment. In cases where a deconditioned soldier cannot meet this goal, he or she should continue to participate in the unit's regular training program, modifying the intensity and frequency of training with guidance from the H2F performance team members. Army Body Composition Program. The ABCP ensures all soldiers achieve and maintain optimal well-being and performance under all conditions. AR-600-9 provides the policy and procedures that apply to screening and enrollment in the ABCP. AR-350-1 specifies that the ABCP will be kept separate from other special programs. Soldiers who fail to meet AR-600-9 standards are enrolled in the ABCP and continue to participate in regular unit H-2F programming. The H-2F programming guides applicable modifications to soldiers' nutrition and activities to create a calorie deficit. H-2F personnel review soldiers' sleep logs and weight loss goals. Soldiers in the ABCP who are also recovering from injury, illness, or other medical conditions will also be in the reconditioning program. Injured and ill soldiers. Commanders faced with the challenge of controlling injuries while conducting rigorous training must adhere to the fundamental principles of H-2F. In the H-2F system, each soldier has an individual reconditioning program written and monitored by H-2F personnel in the unit. Soldiers who are reconditioning will continue to train with the rest of the unit, modifying the drills and exercises with the goal of performing them to standard and returning to full duty as soon as possible. The commander's role in injury control is to lead by being present during physical training and reconditioning sessions. Leader presence builds reputation and relationship with soldiers who are working toward being mission capable. Commanders who stand in front of their formations and not just during unit formation runs demonstrate compliance with drills and exercises. No matter their level of conditioning or physical status, commander's presence instills pride and can-do cohesion in their formations. There ought to be no gap between the commander's intent to comply with the H-2F program and the commander's participation in that program. This includes instances where leaders who are pregnant, injured, or deconditioned use H-2F modified drills and exercises and train alongside the rest of their units. Leader presence during special programs destigmatizes injury and demonstrates support for a key part of the warrior ethos: never leave a fallen comrade. Precise execution of all physical training activities is essential to the injury control effort. Commanders must allow trained H-2F leaders the time to teach proper execution of H-2F activities. H-2F leaders must be able to recognize and offer corrective guidance to soldiers who have not developed the movement skills to execute drills to the standards described in ATP 7-22.02. H-2F schedules prescribed in this doctrine involve less sustained running than is currently performed in Army units. Long runs do not have strong correlation with combat-specific physical tasks and do not properly prepare soldiers for those tasks. This doctrine carefully balances the requirement to build strength and endurance to avoid overemphasizing any single component of readiness. A reduction in running volume will not hinder performance on 2 or 3 mile run assessments as long as the proper running intensity is used. An increase in strength training builds the capability to sustain higher levels of endurance activity. Commanders look for and resolve conflicts between the H-2F schedule and the unit training schedule. By considering the physical demands of tasks on the unit training schedule, commanders can better plan appropriate physical training sessions. For example, if Friday involves a 10-mile foot march to a range, commanders should not schedule speed work on Thursday. Time should be allotted for leg recovery. Mondays and Wednesdays physical training should not involve climbing drills 1 and 2 or the strength training circuit if Tuesday's unit training schedule takes the unit to an obstacle course that heavily challenges upper body strength. Profiles. The authorized forms for written profiles in the Army are DD Form 689, Individual 6-slip, and DA Form 3349, Physical Profile. DD Form 689 is the short form used to communicate to the commander a soldier's diagnosis of minimally limiting injuries and illnesses, less than or equal to 7 days in duration. It is often used to place soldiers on 24 or 48-hour quarters. After that period has ended, healthcare providers document the soldier's restrictions in the Medical Readiness Portal, an electronic profile system, using DA Form 3349. DA Form 3349 is the long form the healthcare provider must generate and sign electronically to be valid. It provides a detailed description of the soldier's temporary and permanent restrictions. It lists modifications to physical activities, including the ACFT, as well as those activities and exercises that can be performed to standard. Exercises not included on the profile are not authorized. If the unit performs non-standardized drills and exercises, the commander, healthcare provider, or both will discuss them with the H2F performance team to avoid increased risk to the unit's readiness. Commanders may assign soldiers with permanent profiles to the reconditioning program or allow them to remain in unit physical training programs. A soldier whose permanent profile only prohibits running would not be in the reconditioning program. He or she would walk or use endurance training machines, ETMs, when the unit performs running activities. Soldiers on convalescent leave may be exempted from reconditioning at the discretion of the profiling officer. In no case can a soldier carry a temporary profile that has been extended for more than 12 months without positive action taken to correct the problem or affect other appropriate disposition in accordance with a medical review board. Once a soldier is no longer on a temporary profile and not on a permanent profile, he or she may continue to train with assistive devices used during rehabilitation or reconditioning. These devices include braces, straps, tape, nasal strips, and other muscle and joint support devices prescribed or recommended by the provider or the unit's H2F performance team. Performance improvement apparel, tracking devices, and other wearables are also authorized during training. As long as the performance apparel comply with AR-670-1 or can be worn beneath the Army Physical Fitness uniform, known as APFU, soldiers do not need a profile authorizing them to be worn and used during training. These devices aim to enhance performance and build strength and endurance to the point soldiers no longer need assistive devices, and performance devices demonstrate higher levels of physical readiness. Assistive devices for a record ACFT are not authorized unless annotated on the soldier's permanent profile issued after a medical evaluation board. Once their profiles end, soldiers may join or continue unit-based reconditioning. Soldiers on temporary profiles will not take record ACFTs. They may train for and practice the events, but their focus is on healing from the injury and then training to pass the test. They will take record ACFTs once the temporary profile has ended, and their command and the H2F performance team agree that they are ready. Initial phase reconditioning. Reconditioning from injury before shipping to BCT is the responsibility of the recruit. Reconditioning in IMT is conducted in the FTU, commanded by a physical therapist, and often includes an organic physical therapy clinic attached. Soldiers remain in the FTU until they are capable of returning to the same phase of BCT or OSAT that they left. The FTU can also conduct ACFT improvement for soldiers who failed to pass the test in time to graduate from BCT. The increased recovery and focused physical training permitted in the FTU results in high ACFT pass rates and successful completion of BCT. If an injury is minor and only requires a few days of limitations, the soldier receives treatment at the medical treatment facility or from healthcare providers in the unit and continues training with profile restrictions. See AR-612-201 for guidance on the Warrior Training Rehabilitation Program. Sustaining phase reconditioning. Executing reconditioning programs is problematic in units with a large population of soldiers who have profile limitations, few personnel to administer the program, and limited access to equipment and facilities to comply with profile recommendations. In the sustaining phase, the H2F system meets this challenge with new approaches and resources to permit individual programming. However, in locations that are remote from or not yet resourced by the H2F system, leaders should tailor guidance on governance, program, equipment, and facilities for specific units. H2F Resourced Unit. Reconditioning for all soldiers is individualized, and soldiers train together under the supervision of H2F personnel using H2F equipment and facilities. Non-H2F Resourced Unit. Reconditioning is supervised by designated unit personnel or medical providers using installation or non-unit-owned equipment and facilities. Governance. In non-H2F resourced units, consolidation of reconditioning programs at the battalion, or equivalent, minimizes the administrative and logistical strain on operational unit assets. The brigade surgeon should have medical oversight of the unit reconditioning program. Battalion medical officers act as the liaisons between reconditioning program leaders, RPLs, and the brigade surgeon. The military treatment facility with rehabilitation services may provide a physical therapist and a physical therapy specialist as consultants to oversee the gym-based reconditioning program, Category 1. The physical therapist can assist or coordinate training efforts with the RPL. The medical platoon leader is the RPL, and the medical platoon sergeant is the assistant RPL. If this is not possible, then the leader chooses the RPL and assistant RPL based on the following criteria: certified as an MFT, knowledgeable in the Army's H2F system, able to instruct all physical training activities, understands the regulations and processes that govern profiling, see AR-40-501, able to modify activities in accordance with profile recommendations, able to effectively interact with medical personnel to ensure that soldiers are fully capable of returning to the unit conditioning program. It is recommended that each company in the battalion provide an NCO to assist the RPL on a daily basis. These NCOs should meet criteria mentioned in paragraph 12-27 for the assistant RPL. In addition, the MFT physical therapist or physical therapy specialist need to provide quarterly training sessions to ensure units observe proper supervision and optimal safety practices. Trained NCOs provide supervision and group instruction to soldiers in the reconditioning program. To meet supervision requirements, at least 2 NCOs per company are trained to conduct and supervise the reconditioning program. Units should constantly recruit NCOs for the MFT course to ensure continuity of the physical training and reconditioning programs. Program. The reconditioning program aims to return a soldier to full duty as soon as possible. Group reconditioning programs with governance and equipment challenges use modifications, known as MODs, to standardized physical readiness drills and activities so soldiers safely progress and comply with exercise modifications in their profiles. Using non-standardized exercises and drills confounds this approach and prevents soldiers from complying with the rehabilitation plan developed with the healthcare provider. These drills and activities learned in the initial phase of training include foundational movements that soldiers must maintain throughout their career. These drills and activities are prehabilitative and rehabilitative. For reconditioning soldiers, these drills and activities provide the best solutions in the absence of easy access to coaching or rehabilitation personnel who can devise an individual's customized program. Group reconditioning meets scheduling challenges and helps soldiers avoid re-injury. Reconditioning that has to be performed in groups due to limitations in personnel or facility support can be delivered by profile category. Schedules for group reconditioning are designed to control the risk of re-injury. Weeks A and B are intended to alternate through a soldier's reconditioning until he or she returns to the unit's physical training program. Modified exercises are described in discussions of preparation drill, recovery drill, conditioning drill 1, and to a lesser extent for the drills that incorporate strength training equipment. Not every possible modification can be illustrated for every injury across every exercise. Note, the overarching principle for exercise modifications is that the injured soldier should continually attempt to perform as close to the standard as possible. This means soldiers will perform the largest range of motion and lift the maximum amount of weight possible, as well as perform as close to the correct number of repetitions and cadence as possible, without hurting themselves. When a soldier is profile restricted from doing an exercise, the soldier selects another exercise with similar cadence, and, in collective situations, performed along with the rest of the unit. This approach maintains cohesion with other soldiers, reduces the likelihood that the injured soldier will be stigmatized, and increases the likelihood of the soldier returning to the unit's standard. Category 1. Severe profile restrictions. Entry into Category 1 is directed by the healthcare provider during the soldier's initial visit. The soldier's program is a gym-based program that includes a mix of specific rehabilitation exercises and clinic visits. The Category 1 profile involves any body part affected by a recent severe injury, such as fracture, acute or severe sprains or strains, disc herniation, or recent surgeries. A Category 1 soldier may be using crutches, braces, or a sling, unable to tolerate impact, able to use non-impact ETMs, able to use STMs, able to perform modified recovery drill and PMCS. Category 2, moderate lower body profile restrictions. Soldiers entering Category 2 for lower body injuries must meet Category 2 entry criteria. Lower body injuries in Category 2 include moderate low back pain or mild to moderate foot, ankle, knee, or hip pain. If the injury does not interfere with use of the uninjured limb, that limb should be trained as close to standard as possible. The soldier can tolerate some impact and so is able to use ETMs such as an elliptical machine or Stairmaster, walk or run in a pool, use STM circuits, perform modified preparation drill, perform modified conditioning drill 1, running drills and suspension drills, perform modified strength training circuit and light free weight training, walk or run in the shallow end or aqua jog in the deep end of the pool, perform modified recovery drill and PMCS. Category 2, moderate upper body profile restrictions. Soldiers must meet Category 2 entry criteria for moderate upper body profile restrictions. The injury involves the hand, wrist, elbow, shoulder, upper back, or neck. If the injury does not interfere with use of the uninjured limb, soldiers should train that limb as close to standard as possible. For the injured limb, soldiers can tolerate some impact without aggravating the injury and can use a recumbent bike or elliptical machine while holding supports. Perform lower body STM circuits. Perform modified preparation drill. Perform modified conditioning drill 1, running drills, recovery drill, and PMCS. Perform modified strength training circuit and light free weight training. Walk or run in the shallow end of the pool or aqua jog in the deep end. Category 3, minimum profile restrictions. Soldiers must meet Category 3 entry criteria for minimum profile restrictions. The injury involves upper or lower body pain that is resolving. The soldier is able to participate in all drills and exercises on the unit physical training schedule, modifying the number of repetitions. Soldiers will depart Category 3 and the unit's reconditioning program after completing exit criteria or when instructed to return to full training by an H2F or unit medical provider. Equipment and facilities. Units ensure adequate space and equipment are provided for the reconditioning program to accommodate STMs and ETMs. In the absence of H2F equipment sets and expertise, soldiers best execute the reconditioning program at the brigade or installation fitness facilities. Lower extremity injuries may hinder a soldier's ability to appropriately perform strength and endurance-related activities. Units need to provide an adequate number of ETMs that offer alternative activities so as to not aggravate or continue to injure soldiers while promoting conditioning and recovery. Sample ETMs include cycle ergometers, steppers, elliptical machines, rowing machines, rope climbers, and treadmills. Treadmills are full weight-bearing machines and are most appropriate for soldiers cleared by medical personnel to begin a walk-to-run progression. Specialized treadmills that reduce weight bearing have the potential to further speed recovery, and because of their harness systems, have the advantage over conventional treadmills of eliminating the risk of falling while walking or running. Pool activities, such as swimming or deep water running, eliminates most weight bearing stress. All soldiers recovering from surgery or have wounds that are still healing require a physician's clearance before entering the swimming pool. Swimming laps, aqua jogging, and aquatic exercises enable soldiers to maintain or improve cardiorespiratory fitness without putting undue stress on joints and bones. Limitations to one leg or one arm are minimal deficits in a pool environment. Kickboard workouts or upper body workouts allow for strenuous activity with minimal risk of re-injury to an affected limb. With enough staffing, units can implement specialized aquatics programs to work on water aerobics or deep water running programs for non-swimmers. Effective leaders plan activities that keep everyone active during group pool sessions. Even if a regular pool program is not practical, leaders can schedule an occasional trip to the pool to break up the routine and provide cross-training. Units that must rely on installation or shared facilities should make arrangements to ensure that space and STMs or ETMs are available during the time dedicated to the reconditioning program. This may require policies that restrict the use of these facilities to only reconditioning programs. Leaders might need to schedule reconditioning outside typical physical training times, such as after 0800 or before 1600, to best have dedicated access to gym space and equipment. Pregnancy and postpartum physical training. Soldiers are expected to meet strenuous physical fitness standards when they return to their jobs after their postpartum phases have ended. A P3T program aims to help pregnant and postpartum soldiers maintain fitness throughout their pregnancies and to help them meet the physical requirements of their unit's MEDALs as well as the standards of the ABCP and ACFT. In the H2F system, pregnant soldiers perform the majority of their special programs in the same environments and at the same times as their units, under the supervision of medical providers or exercise leaders certified in P3T. When the unit trains as a whole, it maintains cohesion, reinforces performance, and sustains unit readiness and retention. Sometimes multiple units consolidate P3T education classes for soldiers to establish support networks and to promote peer reinforcement on topics about pregnancy, labor and delivery, newborn babies, and parenting issues. Instructors can use classrooms in the SPRC to teach these sessions while the rest of the unit performs other H2F training in the building. Soldiers diagnosed as pregnant or who are recovering after their pregnancies perform physical activities directed in their pregnancy profiles up to 45 days after the end of their pregnancies. They do not have to meet the physical training goals or test standards of the unit during this time. During maternity or convalescent leave, leaders encourage soldiers to follow at-home exercise programs. Soldiers can also attend P3T while still on maternity or convalescent leave. If postpartum soldiers pass practice ACFTs and receive clearances from their healthcare providers, they may return to unit physical training before the one-year requirement to pass the ACFT. They must submit a DA Form 4856, developmental counseling form, to complete disenrollment from P3T. Note, in the event that a soldier's pregnancy ends before normal delivery, consult with the soldier's healthcare provider regarding participation in the postpartum phase of P3T. Precautions for pregnant soldiers. Commanders and H2F performance team personnel must ensure that soldiers follow these safety precautions. Soldiers must have written approval from a healthcare provider that clears them to exercise during pregnancy. The DA Form 3349, specified for pregnancy, will indicate if they are allowed to exercise at their own pace. Soldiers are encouraged to continue to run or jog through the second trimester at their own pace. Soldiers are encouraged to participate at the highest level they are comfortable and at their own pace. Soldiers must bring water to exercise sessions and are encouraged to drink water as needed. Soldiers are excused to use the restroom as needed. Soldiers are encouraged to consume a small amount of calories before the exercise session. Soldiers are allowed to modify exercises to reduce physical discomfort, such as nausea, fatigue, or pain. Soldiers are to be led in strength and endurance exercises at a slow pace, which may be slower than the standard slow cadence of 50 counts per minute. Pregnant soldiers will not exercise to exhaustion, breathlessness, or fatigue. If soldiers exhibit these signs, leaders coach them to decrease the intensity or to stop vaginal bleeding, abdominal pain, regular painful contractions, and amniotic fluid leakage. Pregnant soldiers should be led in slow, deep breathing during all phases of exercise to prevent them from hyperventilating. Soldiers more than 20 weeks pregnant do not perform exercises lying on their backs. Soldiers more than 20 weeks pregnant must use a splinting technique to support their abdomens during all abdominal exercises. Weight-bearing activities, running and jogging, for pregnant soldiers are limited to 45 minutes to prevent decreased blood flow to the heart and uterus. Pregnant soldiers are not to perform activities that put them at risk of falling or being hit in the abdomen. If a soldier less than 20 weeks pregnant falls during an exercise, she should rest for 10 minutes on her side and notify her healthcare provider for further instruction. If symptoms of injury exist, such as cramping, bleeding, or swelling, the soldier should go to the emergency room. If the soldier is more than 20 weeks pregnant, then she needs to seek immediate care at the medical treatment facility. Pregnant soldiers with the following symptoms are to be referred to healthcare provider immediately: swelling of face and hands, severe headaches, persistent dizziness, chest pain, palpitations, difficulty walking due to pain, vaginal bleeding or discharge, fever, or contractions that increase in intensity, frequency, or duration. Soldiers follow trained exercise leaders who can assist them in modifying exercises to fit their pregnancy or postpartum conditions. Training is not to be led by other pregnant soldiers. Safe and beneficial exercises during pregnancy include walking, stationary cycling, aerobic exercises, dancing, resistance exercises, stretching exercises, hydrotherapy, and water aerobics. The exercise session must always have at least two exercise leaders in attendance who will correct exercise performance to prevent injury. After 20 weeks gestation, soldiers need modified or substituted physical training activities to accommodate physiological changes and to promote safe performance. Leaders use RPE to monitor exercise intensity during pregnancy. Moderate intensity RPE of 5 to 7 is acceptable, or using the talk test. As long as a soldier can talk while exercising, she likely is not overexerting herself. Precautions for postpartum soldiers. Commanders and H2F performance personnel must administer a needs analysis or standardized postpartum questionnaire that includes questions about cesarean section, other delivery complications, or profile limitations that will influence exercise performance. Offer guidance as to the appropriate modifications required by their individual condition or limitations. Recondition postpartum soldiers who have had cesarean sections more slowly, and modify exercises to reduce jumping, twisting, and pulling on the abdomen. Ask postpartum soldiers if they have a separation midline between vertical abdominal muscles and give guidance as to the appropriate abdominal exercises based on their condition. A soldier with a separation of more than 2 fingers in width must manually splint her abdomen during abdominal exercises. Encourage soldiers to not move or change direction quickly and to exercise at a slow pace for the first 10 weeks after delivery. Watch for soldiers with pelvic pain, low back or sciatic nerve pain, difficulty walking, limping, incontinence during exercise, or with deep abdominal pain. They may need to further modify exercise performance and check with their providers for exercise restrictions. Encourage frequent hydration, preferably with water. Dehydration remains a concern after pregnancy, especially for breastfeeding mothers. Give postpartum soldiers the chance to practice ACFT events and measure their body composition as part of their needs analysis and program development. Progress postpartum soldiers to unit conditioning program and use reconditioning programs to do so. Watch for symptoms of depression that may occur between 3 and 4 months postpartum. Encourage soldiers who exhibit symptoms to seek professional assistance and alert the soldier's chain of command about a potential concern. Pregnancy and postpartum physical training exercise sessions. It is safe for soldiers to continue or start most types of exercise during a normal, uncomplicated pregnancy. Soldiers who were very active before pregnancy or are experienced runners, for example, may be cleared by medical providers to keep doing the same workouts well into their pregnancies. Physical activity does not increase risk of miscarriage, low birth weight, or premature delivery. The benefits of exercise during pregnancy include the following: decreased risk of pregnancy-related medical complications, reduced back pain, healthy weight gain during pregnancy, and healthy weight loss afterwards, improved maintenance of overall physical readiness and health. The changes in the body during and after pregnancy drives the frequency, intensity, duration, and types of drills and exercises performed. Each physical training session should integrate multiple exercise components. During pregnancy, soldiers deliberately limit intensity. They limit their physical fitness components to muscular strength, muscular endurance, flexibility, and aerobic endurance. Exercises promote the fullest safe range of motion, balance, coordination, and healthy body composition. P3T sessions include three typical elements: preparation, activities, and recovery. A preparation activity called centering, purposeful concentration on the base of support and changing center of mass, and relaxation are unique P3T activities leaders deliberately program into the soldier's schedule. Preparation and strength training should occur before endurance training. To avoid lightheadedness when getting up from the ground, standing exercises should precede sitting and floor exercises. For the same reason, pregnant soldiers do not return to the position of attention between floor exercises. They use that time to recover in place. Recovery at the end of the session safely returns the soldier to the pre-exercise state. In pregnant soldiers, a heart rate below 100 BPM indicates that they have returned to a pre-exercise level of exertion. Preparation. P3T preparation aims to get the soldier's mind and body ready for exercise. It consists of centering, core compressions, and modified preparation drill. It should last approximately 15 minutes. Centering focuses on mental preparation, deep abdominal breathing, and physical balance. Soldiers can perform it sitting or standing. When a profile restricts preparation drill exercises, soldiers can perform other general warm-up movements, including walking, marching, or jogging in place, dynamic stretching, or easy aerobic dance steps. Soldiers focus also on core compressions on the transversus abdominis, muscle layer on sides of the abdomen. They pull the belly button in and toward the spine, hold for a few seconds, and repeat for a minute. Activities. Pregnant soldiers should plan to exercise 3 to 5 times per week for 60 to 90 minutes at each session. Microcycles of 1 week and mesocycles of 2 to 4 weeks allow sequential training and fit neatly into the 3 trimesters of pregnancy and the postpartum period. Leaders can modify periodized training cycles to accommodate the changes occurring in the pregnant soldier's fitness and fatigue levels, directives from medical providers, and the soldier's motivation to train. Otherwise healthy postpartum soldiers resume core strengthening exercises shortly after giving birth. They may need modifications to core and hip strengthening exercises at first, but as they progress, standard movements become safe. Before resuming sit-up type exercises, soldiers should be checked by their medical provider for rectus diastasis, a midline separation between the vertical muscles of the abdomen. 12 weeks after the pregnancy has ended, postpartum soldiers should be able to run 3 times per week. Postpartum soldiers with leadership qualities should also be considered by commanders for leadership roles in the P3T program. Recovery. Relaxation and stress management are recovery activities that maintain a pregnant soldier's health throughout her pregnancy and prepare her to conserve energy during labor and delivery. A quiet, comfortable, and dimly lit environment with calming music can assist with mental imagery, deep breathing practice, muscle relaxation, and mindfulness practice. Pregnancy and postpartum physical training exercises. Soldiers maintain physical fitness with P3T exercises. Each exercise may be selected for soldiers by their providers and coached in the P3T program by H2F performance specialists. Soldiers adjust the dose and range of movement based on their specific needs, level of conditioning, and trimester. Pregnancy and postpartum physical training education sessions. Weekly education sessions are taught during P3T during pregnancy and monthly during postpartum soldiers to improve soldier preparedness for pregnancy and parenthood. Core curriculum sessions are mandatory and may be repeated twice during the year.